And we are called to be a church the other 166 hours of the week. And if you would turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8, that's part of what we're going to be looking at today. It's part of what we're going to be looking at today. And I have been personally enjoying and benefiting from this series on the church as we've been looking back through God's Word and kind of understanding not just historically, but just all throughout from the beginning of time in creation, what was God's purpose for the gathering of His people? In other words, why do we do this on Sunday mornings? Why do we gather like this? Who is it that gathers like this? And so we're kind of wrestling around with a little bit of those questions, but more than that, I believe this is what's happening. I believe that God, through His Word, is speaking and shaping the culture of Metro Life Church. Now, I want to say that again. God, through His Word, is speaking to and shaping the culture of Metro Life Church. What do I mean by that? Well, that's who we are when we gather together. It's who we are no matter how large or small a group He is speaking to, and He is giving shape, and He is breathing life into what it should look like when we gather together. Now, it's wonderful to be able to gather together in small groups, especially groups where there's a common interest or something like that. But it's even better to gather together in a group where we are building the kingdom of God, maybe through the way that we're serving others, or more importantly, how it's being built into our hearts. And I want to make sure, as we're looking at 1 Kings 8 today, we're going to be looking at the dedication of Solomon's temple. And I want to make sure that as we kind of dive into the history of that we don't lose the present day purpose in our lives today. God is revealing Himself through Scripture, that He can be known, that he can be understood, that we can draw near with faith and confidence, as we're told in Hebrews, because of the blood of Jesus. But He is revealing Himself through things like the tabernacle, through creation, as we've looked at over the last couple of weeks. He's revealing Himself through the building of and the dedication of the temple. And today, Solomon is going to be a bit like our guide. He's going to be our guide. He's kind of hosting us on the day of dedication, as we're here at the dedication of Solomon's temple. And so before we look at 1 Kings 8 together and actually read today's passage from verses 12 through 21, I want to kind of think about the history of what was happening at that time. Now, David had been king before Solomon. He was Solomon's dad, and he wanted to build a temple for God. But God did not allow him to. He had the idea, right, but the timing was wrong. It wasn't his to build. Actually, 2 Samuel captures a good bit of the interaction between David and God, and even kind of the preparation for building the temple. But he says this: when your time comes and you rest with your fathers, God is speaking to David here. He says, I will raise up after you your descendant, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. Now, one of the things that we know as believers is that God speaks to His people in covenants. Covenants very simply means this. It means the special relationship that God defines the terms of and God upholds the terms of with the people that He calls to Himself. The covenant is very simply that. God is defining the relationship and He is upholding that relationship with Himself. We are His covenant people. We are the people that He speaks to in this way. And so He is saying, I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. And what happens to His covenant people? Well, they start to get this idea of conquering and kingdoms and earthly, kind of the spread of and the land grab of kingdoms and conquer. And so King Solomon begins to gather the materials to build the temple. There's cedar, there's cypress timbers from Lebanon. There's 30,000 men from all of Israel that are the laborers to excavate the stone. It's interesting to read the account of this. It talks about the stone being excavated and prepared away from Solomon's house. A man did not want to hear the noise of the temple being built. He just wanted to rejoice in it. It's actually an interesting little detail. It says they did this away from the house so that the king wasn't disturbed by the sound of the hammers. All right, Solomon had some preferences, right? I mean, he had a way that he wanted this to be done. But there's something interesting that we can observe about the people of God when we see them coming together to build the temple. We see this actually with the tabernacle as well. The people of God give proactively. The people of God, certainly there are times that they are giving in response to a call to do so, but they give proactively. It's not always reactively. And I was curious as we were studying back in November, and Aaron and I were talking through this series a little bit, and I had been watching a documentary about the time of the Prohibition and the time of some different things that were going on in American history, and then it kind of went up through the time of some of the World's Fairs. And there was this World's Fair that was happening, and Disney had some displays there and different things like this, but at the end of the day, the World's Fair ended up being a failure because there was so much strife and turmoil in the world. And so here this thing is supposed to be a monument to peace, is actually a massive failure because of how much strife was throughout the world, and the world is gearing up for and preparing for World War II. And what happens to the displays at the World's Fair that was in New York at that time? Well, that all gets melted down and turned into tanks and weapons of war. And so I think that we can see throughout history that people, humans, are good at reactively giving to something. Even making do or making a way for victory reactively. But the people of God are called to give proactively. We are called to build something proactively for the presence of God. We are called to do something proactively with the gifts that God has given us. And it's just an interesting observation to look at as you kind of look throughout God's word, how much we are called to kind of be on the balls of our feet ready to go rather than knocked back on our heels by the world. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather live kind of in a posture of ready to go rather than one that just says, I'm constantly on my heels. I'm constantly being berated by what it is that's happening in the world. And God's word gives us a way and a guide to do that. And so here we are at this day where the temple has been built. All of these tens of thousands of people have come. There is gold and cedar and all of this iconography and symbolism that is built in there to hearken back to the temple of God's creation and his glory. When he created this place, earth, for us to walk and commune with him, to find our abiding in him. And so the temple is impressive. It took 7 years to be completed, including all of the furniture and accessories that are inside, and the day comes to dedicate this temple. Now, it says that all of the Israelites, many commentators would actually say it was probably representative heads from around the land. They were the ones who were there. They were representing the people. And the priests bring the ark of the Lord into the most holy place. And a cloud fills the house of the Lord. God's glory fills the temple. And Solomon prays and praises God for keeping his covenant with David. He recognized that God is not confined to a temple, actually beyond the passage that we're going to be looking at today in 1 Kings 8:27. He says, even heaven, the highest heaven, cannot contain you, God, much less this temple I have built. And Solomon's prayer and Solomon's speech is followed by a great offering to God. But the temple was there because it's where God is going to meet with his people, gives them a permanent place to worship him, where they can go and make sacrifices to him in a peaceful way. The tabernacle was temporary. It was being transported from one location to another. The temple offers a place where the glory of God can reside in their midst. And Solomon kind of plays guide for us. He is the MC in the midst of this story to help us understand and interpret what it is that's happening that day. And that's where we dive in to our passage today. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. And Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have indeed built for you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell forever," Solomon is saying to God. Then the king turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel stood, and he said, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hand has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to David my father, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, 'Whereas it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who shall be born shall build the house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled this promise that he made. For I have risen in the place of David my father, and I sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and I have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And there I have provided a place for the ark, in which is the covenant that the Lord he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, help us to understand through your Holy Spirit what it is that you're speaking to us today. In the recounting of your word and in looking back at the history of your faithfulness to your covenant people, Lord, help us to know and to be comforted today by how this speaks to us. Help us as a church be different walking out today than when we walked in because we've been in your word. We have heard your word spoken to us, and it has changed the course of where we're going, God. We ask this in Jesus' name, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, there are places that I look forward to going. I look forward to going out with my wife, just about anywhere. The other night, we have been down with some sickness. She and the rest of my family are not here today because of that. But we have been, and so you know when you've been sick, you're ready to get out of the house. And so just about anywhere sounds great. And so the other night, we were out to dinner, and we had a great time here at one of the local restaurants. And I looked forward to getting out of the house that night. I look forward to times she and I have Disney passes. Our kids don't. One of them does, but he's paying for his own, and that's a fun place to be as a parent, right? When they start getting off your dime, I'm like, haircuts and Disney passes are on y'all now, right? Glory. You know, we got him out of diapers years ago. We're getting out of haircuts now. Slowly but surely, I'm getting my money back. And we look forward to going to Disney because we have time together. It's not because it's just this magical place. It's because it's away from the rest of the world, and it's just she and I together. I look forward to those kinds of times. I look forward to going to concerts a lot of times, going and hearing bands that have just honed their craft, and they've done things that they've practiced, and they put in the hours and hours of rehearsal, and then they present it in this concert. And sometimes concerts go well, or you realize, like, you're a better band on the recording. You know, or you go to one and you're like, there's no way to capture what we just experienced. I had that experience in Nashville one time. We went and saw a funk band. It was a 28-piece band. It was weird. It's the only time I've ever felt like I was assaulted by music. It was this strange night, right? It was so loud. And me and a buddy of mine, we were in Nashville, and it was. I think we were two of the five people in the whole place, other than the 28 people in the band. It was a weird night, but there are things that we look forward to going to. I remember growing up going to conferences related to the church, and so even with what's coming up with Grace Partnership, I look forward to going to that because I remember things that God did in my heart and in my life when we gathered together for conferences like that. Special time set aside to be with God and in his word and out of the norm, right? I missed being with you all last Sunday because of being sick. No doubt it took a fever to keep me out of here. It took a fever in my wife standing at the door saying, don't go get everybody sick. Why? Because I want to be here with you. I knew the things that were planned for the day. And I've heard the stories since then of what God did in our midst that day. And you know what? I hate missing that. I can't go back and recapture or recreate those moments. And there are times that Sunday mornings for me, I'm so aware of the details, and this is something that God is working on in me. I'm so aware of the details that I will miss what he wants to speak and move in our midst with the prophetic gifts or with the gifts of the Spirit moving in our midst or just taking time to pray together. And I'm asking God, help me to grow in this area. And missing a Sunday doesn't feel like growth, right? And so one of the ways that I've been working to combat that is when I'm back with the worship team or when I'm talking with some of the folks that are giving oversight to our Sunday gatherings, I simply ask this question. It's a question designed to help me. I say, what could happen today? What could happen today? We're working through the technical details of having in-ears in and strings that go out of tune and batteries that die and guitars and all the different things, but I want to ask the question, the big question, is the most important question, what could happen today? What I'm not asking is, well, somehow a piano could go out of tune. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the funny stuff that could happen. We certainly review those things too. I'm talking about the ways that God surprises us in meeting with us. And so it's wonderful to hear their answers. God could speak to his people. People could be saved today. Someone could be healed today. Someone could experience breakthrough in an area of their life that has been a besetting sin. Those are all things that we believe could happen. And what's wonderful about asking that kind of a question, coming into a meeting like this, is what stirs in our hearts when we ask that kind of a question. We kind of get out of the administrative details and we remember why it is that we're gathering in the first place. We're gathering to meet with the holy God who draws us into his presence because of the death, the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, who empowers us with gifts that he has created in us and given to us and shapes through his word to be used for the good of others and the glory of his name. That's what could happen. But Scripture doesn't wonder what could happen when we gather together. No, 1 Kings 8 tells us what will happen when we gather together. No matter the size, no matter if it's a small group, if it's as simple as two or three gathered in his name, Scripture and 1 Kings chapter 8 is telling us what will happen when God's people get together. I enjoyed asking this question when we were away at Passion a couple of weeks ago with the young adults. So it's kind of outside of my normal crew, my normal squad, the ones that I normally get to hang with. And so I'm asking this question, asking that same stir us all up question. And then what was amazing was to see, we prayed for salvations and then people would give their lives to the Lord that day. And it was wonderful. I love that baptisms are one of the loudest parts of our service. I think culturally that's the right thing to do. Why? Because we're mirroring what's happening in heaven in that moment. I don't want the music to ever be louder than us cheering for baptisms. Right? I want to get the right things right. And so what could happen today? All of these things are true, but what will happen today is what we begin to see in 1 Kings chapter 8. And it starts with very simple words. The Lord said. What happens when the church gathers together? The Lord speaks to his people. I want that to sink in just a little bit. The one who created the universe beyond what anything made by man can capture, speaks to you and to me. It's all the symbolism that's trying to be captured in the temple. It's why the gold and the cedar and all these materials mattered so much, because it's a representative of the Almighty God who is speaking to you and to me. There's something amazing about that, isn't there? There's something wonderful about that, isn't there? Most of the time when God speaks, people, they shudder in fear. Why can we have confidence? Because we know Jesus as our Savior. His blood makes a way for us to enter in. And so it says this, Solomon is, as our guide says, then Solomon said, the Lord has said. It can be very easy for us to pass over these words and just kind of give them a cursory glance, but these words matter and they change everything fundamentally about when we gather together. And this is not some way that I'm trying to manipulate and say that the things that I'm saying right now are more important. As a matter of fact, one of my prayers most often when I am getting ready to preach is, God, get my words out of the way of your word. God, get my words out of the way of your word. The things that I say that might be confusing, the things that I say that might cause questions, the things that I say that detract or add to your word in any way, get them out of the way, that your word would speak to our hearts. So this isn't some way to try to manipulate the importance of what I do. But I do want to stir us up as a church to realize the living God is speaking to us when we gather together. And that's not something I want to miss or treat flippantly. The living God is taking time to say, this is what it should look like when you gather. This is what it should look like when you live. This is what it should look like in your home, at your table, and in your kitchen. This is what it should look like when you're living your life in your workplace. This is what it should look like in your relationships, no matter what they are. This is what it should look like in your marriage. This is what it should look like in your parenting. This is what the culture of your home should look like. And he speaks those things to us. The living, almighty God. The one who created us, wonder of wonders, he speaks to us. Are we listening? Are we even here to hear? The living God speaks to us. It's fundamental for everything, because if it's not true that he's the living God, and if his words aren't spoken over us, it changes everything about our faith. It makes it very fanciful and more like a fairy tale than anything else. But if it's the living God speaking to us, it's very life and breath for us as believers. If you've heard your voice, or if you've heard his voice, do you understand that he is still speaking to you today through his word? It matters that we understand this fundamentally when we gather together. And in the temple is where he was speaking to his people at this time. But he is going to go on and he's going to speak to us in other ways. We understand that God's word is God-breathed. The scripture is God-breathed and it is given to us as a tool toward righteousness. God speaks to us today through his Son, Jesus Christ, as it says in Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in many various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom appointed us heirs of all things. Through him, he made the universe. Creator of all things is speaking to us. He speaks to us through his creation. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Have you ever experienced that? Over Christmas time, I had a unique experience with that. It was one of those nights we were out at Disney, and we met up with Caleb. He's our son that is buying his own Disney pass, and we went and saw the candlelight processional together. I don't know how many of you, I love the candlelight processional. Someday I'd love to sing in the, I'm just putting this out there, bucket list. I want to sing in the choir one day of the candlelight processional. Somehow I've never been able to finagle that, but I'm going to get there. And at the end, the hallelujah chorus starts up. It's sad to me how many people don't know the tradition to stand, but I love being one of the first ones springing to my feet to stand at the hallelujah chorus. And then all of a sudden, this breeze, I don't know how many of you realized it was hot at Christmas time this year. That doesn't feel very Christmassy. Christmas shouldn't feel moist. But this breeze began to blow through. And Stephanie and I caught each other's eyes. Creation was saying amen. And I looked at Caleb and I said, "Creation is saying amen." Why? Because I don't want my son to miss that creation speaks in a way that says it magnifies the glory of God. I don't want him to miss those moments that God's saying yes. You ever have those kinds of moments? Ever have those kinds of moments where God just reminds you, I am real, I am living, I am here, I am speaking, I am providing, I am protecting? We need those kinds of moments, and we need these gatherings to remind us of those things. He speaks through other believers. He speaks through his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us this, "Do you know that you yourselves are God's temple? That God's Spirit dwells in your midst." It's a way that he speaks to us today. God continues to speak to us today. And no matter the way that God speaks or communicates with you, God's word is the ultimate guide to understand and filter through what's being said. We look to it like the Bereans did, where they're going back and they're saying the things that they understood, and they're kind of filtering it through God's word to understand, is this from him? Is this from him? And so the fact that God is speaking is wonderful for us, but what is it that he's saying when he speaks to us? Oh, there's good news here for us. He speaks his promises over us. He speaks his promises over us. We've already talked about him being a covenant-keeping God, but he is speaking his promises over us. It's interesting that Solomon looks at the dark cloud filling the house of the Lord, and he's remembering God's promises. He's almost kind of processing in real time with what he says. It goes on to say, I have indeed built you an exalted house. He's kind of speaking in first person there, and then he turns his attention to others. But what is he seeing when he's responding to something there? He has seen that the Lord has spoken and that this thick cloud has come in here. And he actually articulates out loud. He says, you've said that you would dwell in thick darkness. Now, Scripture doesn't actually record those words, and so we realize Solomon is kind of processing in real time. He's trying to interpret for us who are not able to be there that day, what is happening in that moment. And it's interesting to me that there are this idea of clouds of glory, right? There's almost this white cloud that was traveling around with the tabernacle, and there's this thick, dark cloud that they're talking about here. And it's important for us to remember there's no natural light in the temple here. I don't think that some commentators would say that the thick darkness was meant to represent the deep mysteries of God. And there are deep mysteries of God to be sure. But don't let that confuse us. God reveals himself to be known. Why do I say that? Because there are deep mysteries of God, but he speaks plainly and clearly to us through his word and through his promises and through his covenant. So he is intended to be known as our God. We can know him, and even as we'll see in just a moment, we can know him by name. We can have that kind of relationship with him. So he's speaking his promises over us. And like I said, we have no record of God saying, I will dwell in the thick darkness. Solomon's not directly quoting some promise from God, but we have some record of God's presence being described as thick darkness. And so Solomon is interpreting this here for us. He's referring to the dark cloud that had filled the house of the Lord. In back in Exodus, it says this, that as Moses is kind of recalling, the people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. So it has been described for us in that way, other places in Scripture. But not only do we have this thick darkness that is there, it is there to dwell. These are other words used in 2 Samuel 7:10. I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. There's a residency being taken up here. There's residency and home being found in this place. And so now there can be this dwelling that will be undisturbed where the Lord can dwell with his people. So we have this thick darkness that is going to dwell amongst our people. Here they are, at peace and at rest, and God's promise is to be with them. God's promise is to be with them, dwelling in their midst. It's not now in a thick darkness for us. On this other side of the cross, it's not now in a thick darkness for us. It doesn't have anything to do with a physical building even. I love this facility. I love this building. But this is not the church. You are the church. You are the temple that is being built into this holy spiritual gathering where the living God dwells with his people. Even at a young age, we worked very hard. I was on staff here at the church. We were working very hard that our children refer to this as the building, not the church. Because we were often en route. And so we wanted them to be thinking in terms of we are going to the building to gather with the church. We are going to the building to gather with the church because I wanted to make that separation between this physical space and this spiritual place. And that's an important distinction for us to keep in mind. This spiritual gathering is the church. This is the temple that is now being built. Jesus actually goes on to say that if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, will come to him and make our home with him. So it's not about this physical place. But Jesus is also our Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the one that has drawn near as we just celebrated at Christmas time. And he has promised to be here with us, as it says in Matthew 18:20, even where there are only two or three gathered in my name, it says. This makes church a little more exciting, doesn't it? This takes it out of the lights and the sound and the fog that does or doesn't exist, and it begins to bring it to this spiritual reality that God, the living God, speaks to us. He speaks his promises over us. And why does he do all of these things? He does this for the glory of his great name. He is making us, as Ephesians 2:22 says, he is making us a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Why? For the glory of his great name. And verses 15 through 21 tell us this. In 1 Kings chapter 8. As a matter of fact, it goes on to say that five different times that this place is a house that my name might be there in verse 16. Verse 17, a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 18 and verse 19, a house for my name, the house for my name. You catch on to what's happening here? The name of the Lord being glorified, the name of the Lord being magnified is what's most important about this gathering. I would go on to say that when we gather together as a church, it brings glory to God. Why? Because we are not looking to other things in creation for satisfaction. We are finding satisfaction in the things that God has given us to point us to being satisfied in him. When we gather together as a church, it is a declaration against the world every week. It is a declaration. I will not find my satisfaction in these other things. I will find my satisfaction in God alone. And this isn't about giving, this isn't about attendance, this isn't about anything other than our personal relationship with the living God. Those other things are an exposure of that. What do we come in here thinking? This is just routine? The danger is that's the trap that Israel fell into. If you've been a Christian any amount of time, you know the pattern of Israel's life. Hear the promises of God, respond to the promises of God, walk away from the promises of God. Here as a church, when we enter in 2020, our 35th year as a church, here is a concern I have for us. We face the exact same temptation that Israel did. We have built this building. Let us not settle for the things that God is building in us. Let us not say, look at this thing that we did, and walk away from the thing that God is still doing in us. Let us not look at this and say, there is a permanent place, and not realize that God is still looking to take up residence in our own heart and push everything else aside. I don't know how long you've been here. That's not really the point of what I'm saying now. The question is this. If we are the ones who, as Ephesians 2:22 says, who are being built into this dwelling place for God by the Spirit, are we still submitting to listening to the voice of the God that is still speaking to us today? It's wonderful to look back on church history, but we need to realize it makes a claim on us today. When we understand that beginning in chapters 9 and beyond in 1 Kings, Israel is going to walk away from the God that is speaking to them. Israel is going to turn away and begin to try to take things in their own hands of the God that has promises for them. Israel is once again going to be lulled into their humanity by ignoring that they have a house that was built for the glory of his great name. And Metro Life Church, may we not fall into that same trap. May we not be lulled into the same place. May we have at our heart May we have at the tip of our tongues, may we have in the strength that causes us to lift our hands and wrap them around tools to build for the kingdom of God here in this world, may we have the glory of his great name on our heart. May we have the glory of his great name informing our, animating our strength. May we have the glory of his great name as the words that we are speaking over one another when we gather together. May that be the thing that we are most passionate about. I am way off my notes. But I think I'm right where God wants us today. When we gather, let's make sure we think about why we gather. When we gather, let's make sure we consider why it is that we gather. We go back and we look over today's passage, and even a little bit before that, right as the verses preceding are where the ark is brought in, we will see that as the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord. They couldn't even stand there to minister because of the cloud, because the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. I have no doubt it was extraordinary. I have no doubt it was as miraculous as the days of Moses when the cloud covered the tent of meeting. The tabernacle was filled with the glory of the Lord in a way that Moses himself was not even able to enter. But in the same way that everything else about Solomon's reign was then bigger and better, we now have bigger and better as well. I'm sure that if we'd have been there on the day that the temple was dedicated, we wouldn't have forgotten going to church that day. I'm certain of it. There's a day coming when the glory of the Lord would depart from that house. That wouldn't be the end of the story as we sang earlier. In Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we have seen his glory, as it tells us in John 1:14. So it's good for us to remember that the assembly that you participate in here, the gathering that you participate in here at Metro Life Church on Sunday mornings, whether you're here at 9:30 for a corporate prayer or beginning at 10 a.m. when we start to strike up the band and worship God, that what we participate in here is even bigger and better than Solomon's church. Because Jesus has paved a way that we understand the spiritual reality of what's going on. We can look at King Solomon's church and we can consider how the assembly that was summoned by our Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of what was happening on that day. Let's think about this. Church is a great assembly. You don't see this many people gathered together throughout the week, but we are people who have been brought together by our great King, by our true King, Jesus Christ. So Solomon's assembly consisted of the elders of Israel, but the church that Jesus Christ is assembling into his royal presence draws people from every level, every kind, every condition of human. We also have to be careful. We can belong to this assembly only by the atonement being made through Jesus Christ. In Solomon's assembly, numerous sacrifices were necessary. In the church of Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God in one body through the death of Jesus himself, we're told in Ephesians 2. The church still has a special word. We are told in Colossians 3:16 to let the word of Christ dwell in or dwell among you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And the local church has a very real glory. The local church is God's remarkable display, as we're told in Ephesians 3:10, of the manifold wisdom of God. That's amazing to me. As one of the leaders in this church, that when we gather, we are on display the manifold wisdom of God. And may that be to the glory of his name alone. It's where the work of reconciling all things to his kingdom can now be seen happening. The physical place where we meet is no longer special in any way. Our temple is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we're told in John 2, 21 and 22. As we come to him, we are being built into this spiritual house that he is the cornerstone of. As we're joined together in him, we're being built into a holy temple for the Lord, as we saw in Ephesians 2. And we meet together as the church because we are the people who have come to his great name. Metro Life Church, may we not forget that the Lord is speaking. May we not forget the promises he is speaking over us. And may we not lose sight of the glory of his great name. Would you stand with me, please? One of the things that I have enjoyed most about this series, at least the messages I've heard, is how much we're talking about the presence of God being with his people. It is hard to make up for time together in relationship. It's hard to make up for time together. We see this in the world so often when families are estranged from one another, and then maybe in a dying moment they come together. Or maybe in some way that you realize there have been years that have been wasted, and yet here God is calling us to a relationship where we can know him by name. May we never lose the wonder of that, church. May we never lose that sense of awe that we can stand in the presence of the Almighty and say, Jesus, the name above all names is the reason that I can stand here. Nothing that I've done, nothing but the blood of Jesus makes a way. May we never lose the wonder of that, that we can know his presence and know his peace. Not because we go to a place where he dwells, but because he now dwells in us. So let's just take a few moments, church, set our hearts and minds and our affections on the presence of God together.